Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hour number 2, Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins. Let's do this Chris Harrington thing. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Memphis' own The Raining Sound with their cover of the Beach Boys song, I'm Waiting for the Day. A little second tribute to Brian Wilson, but with a little Memphis spin on it today.
Okay, so we had some Grizzlies news yesterday. Ja is no longer being represented by Mike Miller. Your thoughts? Did you have an initial reaction? Do you think it matters?
I did not have a chance to listen to the first hour of the show, so I sort of don't want to step beyond whatever you said. What are your thoughts, Drew? Catch me up on what you've
said. For those
that
are just joining,
I don't think that this is a huge deal. I feel like, you know, Ja has a lot of members of his own team. This is something that's been bubbling for a while, and it's out. But like Ja, unless agents make their money, Chris, as you know, when players sign deals. And I'm not sure what Mike Miller could bring to the table for Ja at this point, given all the pieces that are in place. But I wonder, with the extension, like we've talked a lot about the extension possibility for Ja today. I wonder if it means anything for that. I don't necessarily think so. But I also wonder where the Grizzlies are in terms of getting something like that done. That's where my head goes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, players make money in other ways other than their NBA contracts. So, like, you know, you could be the agent working on other stuff too. My best sense is that this change in representation for Ja, let me be very specific about this. This change in representation for Ja doesn't have any specific negative bearing on his relationship with the Grizzlies. It's possible it has positive bearing, but I don't think it has any specific negative bearing on it. And so I think whatever happens with Morant and the Grizzlies in terms of doing an extension now or waiting to do one later, or, you know, whether he's going to be back or whether somebody wants to trade, there's no indication anybody wants to trade. I don't think this change in representation is at all an indicator in any way about in anything that would be concerning relative to the Grizzlies. Now, if something happens that you know has any negative bearing on that relationship, that's possible in the future. But I don't think this agent change has any bearing on that.
You have a story over at the Daily Memphian where you've talked about potential wing targets for the Grizzlies. There's a lot of names on this list. Can you narrow this list down to a few that you think are more likely?
I think my main takeaway is that I think the market, if the Grizzlies are, you know, limited to the $8.8 million, which in the most common scenario they are, there are scenarios where they're not, but in the what we're operating with as the most likely scenario, I think the market at that number for wings and guards is a worse market than market for bigs. And I think the two players that are the best players that you could think maybe you could sign for that number, who are unrestricted free agents, they kill Alexander Walker at Minnesota and Caris LeVert for Atlanta. I don't think you could actually get either of those players for that number. So I think what you're really looking at are, you know, some more anonymous players, Amir Coffey or Taurean Prince or, you know, some of these guys. So maybe you decide that you want to make, you know, somebody like that your primary signing. Maybe Amir Coffey does take $8.8 million to sign. That's a pretty anonymous player. Most listeners probably don't know who that is, but he's a 27-year-old wing who has been a solid rotation player for the Clippers. Last year, he averaged 24 minutes a game for the Clippers, scored 10 points a game, shot 40% from three, 6'7". Like, that's a good, like, solid, you know, middle of the rotation kind of guy. But I don't think for $8.8 million, you're going to sign a perimeter player who's any better than that.
Is there a history of wings signing on the cheap and then they work out? Like, what's the most recent example?
Yeah, but more guards. I think one of the issues you have is that when I say, like, that's the best player you could get, honestly, maybe it's not. Maybe you could get Gary Trent Jr. or Sam Merrill, and maybe those are better players. The problem is that those guys are 6'4", single-position scoring guards, and I think the way the Grizzlies team was constructed, you already have Ja Morant, Desmond Bain, and Scottie Pippen. That's, like, your top three guards in a rotation. I don't think it makes sense to spend, you know, to put your biggest chip on a pure guard like that. I think you need someone who can play more of the wing, more of the three. And so last year, you know, the Detroit got Malik Beasley for a 1-year, $6 million deal, and he finished second in sixth man of the year. That was a great return. But, like, that's a single-position guy on a team that you already have, you know, those guys. You know, the Bucks got Gary Trent for, like, $4 million. So there is a history of good return on those kind of players, but I feel like that's the kind of player the Grizzlies are probably not likely to try to sign, just because your minutes at that kind of spot are pretty well soaked up. And so there's that. In terms of bigger wings, like, a great signing a couple years ago was Derrick Jones Jr., who the Mavericks signed for less than a full MLE, you know, sort of that $9 million range. I think it was a little bit higher than what the Grizzlies have to spend right now, but it was roughly similar. He ended up being the starting small forward on their team in the NBA Finals, right? That's exactly the kind of player the Grizzlies would like to get. I just don't see the Derrick Jones Jr. out there on this market.
You've talked about – I mean, we talked about it yesterday. You mentioned it a little bit in your piece today. The priority or order you suspect that they will use when trying to make additions this offseason, you know, bigs, wings, and – point guards or a secondary point guard, another ball handler. But I just wonder, like, how do you weigh the importance of adding players that can help you at those positions, particularly the ones that you value most, versus the ability to add those players? And can you foresee a scenario in which, like, the only way to do so is to not re-sign Jaren renegotiate with Jaren and extend, or to make a big trade and send out a Desmond Bane, or to make a trade and send out a player like Brandon Clark? Like, is that how do you, I guess, balance the scales there? How important is it to add a player on the wing? Are you willing to, if you were in Zach Kleiman's shoes, would you be willing to assume some risk and send out players and be more thin at other positions in the name of adding wing depth?
Well, there's a lot. It's a lot there that's complicated. A couple of things, I guess, I would say to that. I mean, this week I've written about, like, what's the free agent market like for these lower level free agents, which is something I noted today. The Grizzlies haven't really tried to sign players of that ilk since Kleiman's been here for the most part. I do think that's going to change this summer. I'm operating right now, when we're talking about these scenarios, we're operating with the assumption that you're trying to fill all three of those holes that way. And that may not necessarily be the case. So I think at some point there will be some kind of signing like this. I think they're going to sign one or more veteran free agents on smaller contracts. I think that's very likely. But that is downriver of other potential moves, right? And so, like, if you don't do the renegotiating extend with Jaren, yeah, that, like, shakes up the whole Magic 8-ball. You have a whole different thing. You shake up the exit sketch, and that's a whole different, you know, thing you're trying to draw. If you decided to do some kind of trade with Desmond Bane, like, that completely shakes up everything, right? And so we're just dealing with a different world. If they do something as dramatic as one of those two things, I'm just operating on the assumption that they won't. There's also the question of Santi Aldama, right? Like, I'm sort of operating, I'll write about that next week, but, you know, I'm sort of operating in this case under the assumption that they bring him back, which I think is most likely. But, like, if you sign and trade him somewhere and you bring back some player that fits one of these holes, then that sort of changes what you do. And so there's that. And then the second thing I would make, you know, and I think in reference to the question, is I just don't think, I think the team should, like, want to, like, take as good of a team as they can into the start of the season. But the team you take into the start of the season does not have to be the team you take into the playoffs. And I think one thing they should be cognizant of is not only like trying to make their team better now, but to make their team more flexible to improve over the course of the season. And that's where you get into the, like the stair step maneuver I wrote about today, where you could do that in one move. You could, you know, take a player who makes $7 million into your free agency exception and immediately trade them for a player who makes 14. You can also sign a player for $8 million and like have them on your team for 3 months and then trade them for a player who makes 15 at the deadline, right? So I think the Grizzlies should try to make their team as good as they can this summer, but with the idea that they can still keep trying to make it better after the season starts.
What's most important when it comes to the questions around Santi Aldama? Because I've wondered, and I've openly wondered, if teams that are on a younger timeline, I'm thinking like the Washingtons of the world, Atlanta, teams that may have good, talented young players, they might be teams that are interested in Santi. What happens if a team comes in and offers an astronomical number for Santi Aldama? Do the Grizzlies have enough space to match?
I don't know what constitutes an astronomical number for Santi. That's the first thing.
Over 20?
Yeah, over 20 is definitely more than I would want to pay for Santi Aldama. I mean, the thing is, though, the Grizzlies, if they do have $30 million in space between the cap line and the tax line, and they can like literally have all of it to use and not many ways to use it, like I don't mind quote unquote overpaying on Santi a little bit because that just gives you a contract you can trade, you know. And so above 20 seems a little rich, sure, but like you know, what's the difference between 20 and 16? Ultimately, with the cap going up. I think my thing with Santi is about maintaining value on the roster, whether that is by re-signing him as both a player and a future player you could trade, or what you get back in a trade. I'm not that interested in if a team's offering 20 and I think that's too much and I just let him walk and I sign a player for 11. That player for 11 needs to be good. Like to me, the money savings is not that big of a deal right now. They have so much space between the cap line and the tax line that I want salary. To me, I don't want to be necessarily right up at the tax line because you lose flexibility, but I don't want to go into the season like, you know, $2 million above the salary cap. To me, that limits your trade possibilities in season. So I think they need to be adding salaries.
Santi feels like every year is like a breakout candidate. And I remember the first game of the regular season last year, or I guess it's still this year, finals is still going on, against Utah. He had this big game and everybody sort of said, uh-oh, Santi's going to make the next leap. And it's faded off. And it feels like that's happened over and over and over again. What's the hope for Santi in terms of the peak level that he can play in the NBA?
You know, he's sort of a tweener in positive and negative ways. He's really versatile, and I think they experimented some. I think both Isolo and Taylor Jenkins experimented with some with him at small forward. I think in the right kind of lineup, that's something they should look at more. But, like, he can't really defend the perimeter well enough to, like, he's going to be your starting three. And he's not really physical enough if you want him to be your starting four. So I think he's kind of locked in on a good team to being, like, the seventh man kind of player. But I think he can be a good version of that. Like, can he be a guy who's like a 15-7 guy off the bench and playing a major role for a team? I think he can, but I do think there's a ceiling on him where I don't think you're going to project him to be a starter on a good team, and you're not going to project him to be the kind of like bench guy who's always in your closing lineups either. So I do think that puts a ceiling on him, but he's still a really good player. I mean, you know, he's a very talented offensive player. I'm not opposed at all to the Grizzlies like moving on from him, but I can't let him walk and bring back lesser value. That's what I just don't think they should be doing.
He's interesting, too, because anytime you have a pass, dribble, and shoot big, there's going to be interest in a player like that. And all of those players have value across the league, no matter what team they're on. But I do wonder what kind of playoff role, like, if he's not a strong perimeter defender and he's not a physical presence, especially when you get to the playoffs, like, we just talked about Mathurin yesterday. Like, I don't know what role Santi plays for the Grizzlies in the postseason, other than maybe just being a bench scorer, filling spot minutes. And is it worth paying close to $20 million for a player like that?
Well, I think the question, I mean, you're not going to pay any more than you need to some degree. Like, I would actually rather have Santi making $12 million than $5 million because I want to build the salary and I want to be able to trade it.
Right,
But I guess I'm not that concerned right now on the salary front because I don't think it's going to get so high that it's a concern. I just want to be able to have a rotation quality player on a tradable salary. And if it's Santi Aldama, and if I'm moving Santi Aldama, I want to get back that kind of player, right? And so that's really more my concern, not his ultimate fit in game seven of the conference finals right now. I think it's more the talent base and the salary base of the team.
Nickeil Alexander-Walker is the player that I see brought up online pretty often. I feel like he's one of the only wing options that's in free agency. You mentioned him in your piece as one of the only options. Is there any chance he can sign him for $8.8 million?
I don't see it. I don't. There is a thing where Minnesota just may, depending on what they do, and we'll see what happens with this Durant stuff, they may just not be able to bring him back financially, given that they're dealing with Julius Randle and Naz Reid as well. But I just don't see him. A, not only is he going to get more money than that somewhere, he's going to get a more assured role than that somewhere. I like Nickeil Alexander-Walker fine, but he's 6'5". And so what's he going to do for the Grizzlies if you just add him to this team? He's going to come off the bench. I mean, he's not going to start over Desmond Bane. And I don't think he's going to be the starter at small forward at that size. And so I think not only can he get more money somewhere else, he can get more money to be a starter somewhere else. So I just don't really see the path for him to Memphis.
The other position mentioned in your recent piece, I will tweet it out in just a minute, another ball handler, another point guard. You mentioned Caris LeVert. That's another player feels like maybe more expensive than $8.8 million. And then a whole bunch of other options. The story has art of Tyus Jones on it. Everyone remembers him. Any chance at a reunion or of the more expensive or pricey players, is there anyone you see the Grizzlies potentially having the appetite to target?
Yeah, I think a lot of times the designers scan for names they recognize and throw the art on there. I mean, Tyus Jones, like Nickeil Alexander-Walker, is a guy I brought up to say the Grizzlies will not be signing him, just to acknowledge he is out there as a free agent. So I'm aware that he's a free agent. If I don't mention him, it'll be like I forgot about him. Why is he going to come sign in Memphis when they have Ja Morant and Scottie Pippen? So as long as Morant and Pippen are both here, Tyus Jones doesn't really make any sense in Memphis. I just think that's too much. It's not enough of a role for him. It's probably not enough of a contract for him. I don't really see that.
So do you think that when you say adding another guard this offseason, do you think it's a true point guard that the Grizzlies should look to add, or is it a combo guard or a guard that has
no,
a different
No, I don't
skills?
Think it has to be a true point guard. I think there's flexibility there. I think ball handler is the way they'll think of it. I think internally when they're sitting around the table, they won't say, we need another point guard. I think they'll say we need another ball handler. And so however you frame that. A lot of times point guard is just how tall somebody is. That's the way people think about it. Like, is Campaign a point guard? I don't know. He's a short guy who shoots is what he is. So whatever you want to call that, he can bring the ball up the floor, but he's not like, I'm going to run the offense. There are different, kinds of guards. I think they'll want another ball handler that they feel like can play rotation minutes when either Morant or Pippen are not available. And given Morant's history, you can depend on that sometimes. And so I think that will be a box they will like to check. I don't think it'll be a priority in the same way as, like, filling the center minutes at the start of the season or adding, you know, another wing would be my guess.
In the pecking order of important things to add this offseason for the Grizzlies, I think you and I both agree guard last on the list. So they'll probably have to do it cheaply. You mentioned your favorite target, Milwaukee's Ryan Rollins. Tell everybody who Ryan Rollins is, Chris.
Yeah. This is a particularly deep cut. Ryan Rollins is a guy he sort of got my attention when he came into the draft maybe 3 years ago. He was one of John Hollinger's like sleeper guys. The way John does it, he'll do his first drafting will be my top 20 prospects, and he'll put three sleepers at the end, more second round guys who he has ranked highly. And Rollins is one of those. So I've sort of kept an eye on him since then. He's bounced around. He's played for three different teams in 3 years, and he's an unrestricted free agent. But he's 24 years old. He's 6'4". He's a career 40% three-point shooter across these 3 years, 37% in the G League. He actually finally got minutes for the Bucks last season. And if you look at sort of his production stuff, like his metrics, his steal rate, his block rate for a guard, his rebound rates, they're all like really high. And so I think there's some athleticism there. There's some shooting there. There's some size there. At age 24, I feel like he's the kind of guy who could like break through, not in a major way, but as like a meaningful rotation player next season. If I were speculating on some young guy who's an actual free agent, like he's a guy who really jumps out to me. For that reason, I got to think Milwaukee would try to bring him back. But he is not restricted. He's unrestricted.
Campaign and DeLon Wright, two other names that you mentioned. Campaign, obviously, from Memphis. DeLon Wright, a defensive player and somebody I know you've mentioned a lot of times in these sort of exercises. Any real possibility?
Yeah, he's a guy I've always
liked. They play the playoffs,
liked.
You know?
Yeah, he's a guy I've always liked. He actually plays. Here's a trivia question for you. And now I'm giving the answer, but use this on someone else. The top, who is third in Memphis Grizzlies history on career triple doubles? The answer is DeLon Wright.
Wow.
Who had like three in the span of 2 weeks in the 20 games he played for the Grizzlies after coming over in the Marcus All trade.
That was the only thing that was fun about that end of the season was just DeLon Wright triple double watch.
Yeah, so he came over to the Grizzlies in the Marcus All trade. It's a good backup guard. I think most people thought they would keep him going into the next season, but instead they traded him for multiple second round picks and signed Tyus Jones instead, which also worked out fine. At this point, DeLon Wright's sort of on the back end of his career, but like he's a good bet who can defend multiple positions and is not going to make more than a minimum salary anywhere. So that's the kind of guy if any team in the league signs him to a minimum and says this is our third point guard, like who could complain, you know?
Jeffrey, we had a question earlier. We were going back and forth. Last thing, we'll let you go. We were talking about the Jaren extension, renegotiate and extend. We were trying to work out the math. If they renegotiate a new contract for this particular season and then they extend, would it be 4 years beyond this upcoming season, or would it be
this year included in the four?
No, it can be. Will be is separate. Will be subject to negotiation. It can be 4 years on top of the current year. Okay. So if you do an extension, the total has to be no more than 5 years. So he's already got the one, so he would extend for four more, or could. At least unless I could extend for four more. They could also do something shorter. They could do player options on the back end of that. I actually think that's a likely scenario. I think they'll do – my guess would be they do an extension, but he's got player options, opt-out stuff, in year three, year four, that kind of thing, of the extension.
Thank you, Chris. We can always count on you for the salary cap and contract stuff. You're the best.
All right, thanks.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, I thought it was the 4 years beyond the deal because, again, you have to – you have the Grizzlies, when they sign the extension, they'd be pulling from the current
right.
number.
So they are extending off of the new deal.
The new deal. Yes.
The other thing I was thinking about as Chris was talking there, do the Grizzlies at this point in time have a tradable contract?
Brandon Clark, Desmond Bain, John Conchar.
Do you think Desmond is tradable at that price?
I mean, I think there's a world in which you would consider it because of what it would do for your future.
I'm not saying – I'm putting you as the GM, and you're saying, hey, who wants a Desmond Bane? I just think there are some people that believe at that price, Des is not an attractive contract. But you think that that's not true.
I think Desmond Bane does hold some value, yes. But I'm not certain that they would be willing to trade a player
right,
like Desmond Bane.
I'm saying
hypothetically.
Okay. Rather than Desmond Bane, but generic player, the third guy on a team at that price. So just take the names out of it. You still think that is a attractive contract for certain teams?
Potentially.
Okay.
Depends on where they are in their stage. So when you talk about who has tradable contracts for the Grizzlies, like John Conchar has a number that's tradable to bring back a potential to clear the space for Jaren. Does John Conchar have positive value? Probably not.
Right. I mean, they've been trying. What, this will be the third year?
Certainly
they've tried
not.
To get.
We were giving John Conchar maybe a little too much credit there. Like, look, it's not a knock on John. Good for him.
No.
He got a good deal. But, like.
Great for his agent.
I think, you know, obviously that's a contract that the Grizzlies could trade, especially if they're trying to clear space for Jaren. Jay Huff, Gigi Jackson's on a great deal. Does someone still believe in Gigi? I think there would be teams
other than Gigi that
absolutely would. I think there'd be teams that would believe in Gigi. The talent is there, clearly.
Yeah, I think there are teams that would believe in him. I think it's also, though, like, at what price? I think there's a lot of people out there that often...
Well, Gigi's on a cheap deal.
Right, but there's a lot of people that are like, well, if we don't want to give up anything, like, at a certain point with the Grizzlies, cut him, which you and I don't think they would do.
No. And then Brandon Clark, 12.5. Like, that one's in the wheelhouse, but the thing is, like, how are you going to trade... I mean, you can, but it feels risky to trade Brandon Clark when you know you're starting the season without Zach Eady.
I totally agree.
You have no front court depth.
I totally agree. I am thinking of it more like I like how Chris said it. Sometimes you're building to have something to move into the season. Like I think everyone always thinks of well, basically you make your moves in the off season and then you throw your hands up. But like I that was kind of like I was going through my head. I was like. They really don't have that many contracts that are movable.
That's the problem. And those contracts, those trades that you make, that's how you get close to the luxury tax.
Yeah.
That's how you don't end up just at the salary cap and all of a sudden you've got this space, this gap in money that you weren't able to use, and you feel like you didn't put the best possible team out there that you could have to start the season. And so you need to make a trade. You need to make trades in order to make it happen. But the Grizzlies just don't have a ton of tradable contracts. That's why Chris is saying, like, if they've got $8.8 million, spend the $8.8 million. You know, get the
yes.
If Santi, if the difference between Santi is 16 or 20, well, if you sign Santi for 20, he's tradable for better players later down the line. So
see if you agree with this.
It all makes sense.
I think Santi is a more useful player for other teams than the Grizzlies. Like, I think it's kind of it's been a complicated fit. I think he's a good player.
Santi's important to the Grizzlies because he's a stretch the floor big, and they don't have a lot of it.
And he's proven. Like, is he the greatest player in the world? No, but like, when he's on the floor in the playoffs, you're not embarrassed.
Right.
Like, that they don't have a ton of those.
He's capable of getting 25 in a playoff game.
Yes. Right?
But he's also...
It complicates how you play defensively.
Right. He's physically tall,
yes,
and long.
But he's not particularly quick.
But he's not particularly strong, yeah, you know. So, although he did do a good job in a few games late in the season, and I think there's potential there. There's momentum. He could end up becoming a better defensive player, but I don't ever think that's going to be his strong suit. I agree with that. The key for Santi is if he shoots 35, 36% from three, he becomes a stretch big for you. And that's super important because really at this stage in his career, Edie isn't much of a three-point shooter. Brandon Clark's not a three-point shooter at all. Jaren Jackson is obviously a three-point shooter. But when Jaren's off the floor, you have to have at least one big that you can put on the court that can space the floor.
Yeah.
So I think he's important to the Grizzlies in that way. But I have questions about where he fits come the postseason.
Yeah.
We've talked about it. Like, the Grizzlies need disruptors. They need athletes. They need players that can help you get easy buckets. And the options are just
limited.
Yeah. It's tough. Well, I think we've talked enough about the Grizzlies today. We gotta move on to other things. There's a warrant out in Florida.
Hey-o.
For a former NFL wide receiver. We'll tell you who it is when we come back. This is Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back. Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins today. By the way, this song, Good Day, Nappy Roots, Louisville, Kentucky group.
There you go.
They were
Louisville's finest.
It played at my wedding, so lovely. By the way, real quick, NBA. They've called in the extender, Jeffrey.
Scott Foster
will be in action officiating game four tonight between the Pacers and the Thunder. I haven't asked you yet. Do you have any bets on this game?
I have not bet anything because my gut kind of says zig, like when everybody's zagging. Because
you know everyone's going Thunder tonight.
But the problem is, man, like if I tell you, it would not shock me to see the Pacers come out like dead-legged. Because I feel like they spend a ton of energy. And like I think oftentimes like when you have that game where the crowd is just so into it and you don't realize like how much it's actually taking out of you. But then there's also like this flip side of like maybe we're just wrong about the Thunder. And they're good, but they're not as dominant as it felt.
It's so hard for me to figure out the balance because I really don't think we're wrong about the Thunder because the math doesn't lie.
I've watched them too much.
The math doesn't lie. They are historically good defensively. Like
their role players have been very bad on the road though.
Yes.
Like that's not the game three was not that much of an anomaly for
didn't show up
at all.
Their role players weren't that bad in the Memphis series and they were good in the Minnesota series.
They were good in game four.
Yes.
But they were trash in game three.
It does feel like OKC has to win this or this thing is over. I think that this is more about the Pacers being better than we thought than it is being wrong about the Thunder.
I think the thing that's actually surprised me the most, because like I have no problem being wrong. I did not think the Pacers bench was going to be better than the Thunder's bench. And to me, like that's kind of been a big part of the story.
You know how everybody talks about in college basketball? It's like, especially when you get to tournament time, it's not about who's the best team. It's about who's the hottest team.
Or guard play.
I mean, the Pacers have guard play and the Pacers have one of the best records in the NBA since January. Like we were not paying enough attention to the Pacers full stop when this series started, very clearly.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say just in general. Like, I think you come entering into the playoffs, I think everyone was just so focused on it's either going to be Boston or Cleveland in some form or fashion. And then when the Knicks got hot, everyone's attention went to the Knicks. And lo and behold, the team that was playing the best basketball all along was the Pacers.
The Knicks also hold the keys to the internet, it feels like. You know, when the Knicks are good and they're going crazy outside of Madison Square Garden and all that,
they certainly dominate
they're unavoidable.
Yes.
And then, you know, Stephen A. Smith is on ESPN. Like, the Knicks are obviously going to hog the attention, but we have not respected the Pacers the way that we should have. And again, so I started the Pacers apology tour yesterday. I'll continue the Pacers apology tour today. It is noticeable, I think, or notable, I should say, that Scott Foster's officiating this game because the exact same thing. We jokingly call him the extender,
yep.
Right? That's become the internet joke on this. I actually think it might be a good thing for Indiana. If they're calling the fouls,
tight.
If this is a tightly officiated game, it plays out of the Thunder's hands given the way that they play defense.
I have a take. I think Scott Foster and Tony Brothers are good officials. I know the internet can't stand them, but I think they're pretty good. Like, in the end, finals assignments are all graded on who is the best officials. They call a lot of finals games.
Yeah. No, it's based on accuracy, right?
Right.
Those aren't the officials that have a history of that the Grizzlies have been frustrated with, I can tell you that. It has not been Scott Foster and Tony Brothers.
Brothers
maybe a long time ago. I would say Brothers, not the recent era of Grizzlies basketball.
But historically, Brothers has been a subject of online Grizzly ire.
The officials now, there's two of them. Can you name them? The officials now that the Grizzlies most commonly have problems with.
Are you saying the team or the online fan base?
The team.
I got no clue.
The frustrations, Ray Acosta and John Goble. Those are the two names.
I should have gotten Goble. I think Eric has told me they have problems with
Goble. I circle them when they officiate Grizzlies games. I'm not saying that they do a bad job, but I'm just saying there is a history of frustration.
Well, sometimes like, it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
So Taylor Jenkins unloaded on Goble after the Timberwolves playoff game. I don't remember which game it was when the Grizzlies beat the Timberwolves in the first-round playoff series,
yeah.
And he got a big fine. That was Goble. Also, Ray Acosta involved in the Ja Morant OKC ejections.
Ah!
So those are the two that I circle. And Ray Acosta, also the one that kicked T. Morant out of a game earlier this year. So
that checks out.
But, I don't think the Grizzlies have a problem with the extender, Scott Foster. He will be blowing the whistle tonight in Game 4.
It does. Weird. It does feel like the series tonight, right?
It is. And it feels like if OKC wins, OKC's going to win the series. But if Indiana wins,
it's
over.
Because it's like, I can't tell if I'm just being unfairly stubborn where it's like, I still think the Thunder are okay. But then it's like, if they lose tonight, it's like, okay, well, I think clearly it's like, well, the Pacers now basically have three games to win one. I like their chances. But then it just feels like you're just hopping on the bandwagon when it's inevitable.
Yeah. We'll see. Did you watch Stanley Cup Finals last night?
I did. So if anyone used to watch the old BetQL show, everyone knows that I have a habit of having historically brutal losses. So after game one, in which Edmonton won.
Only you.
I took the Panthers plus 180 to win the series. For the first time in the history of the Stanley Cup Final, a team that was winning 3-0 lost outright. Only me.
It has been a tremendous Stanley Cup final. Lots of overtime games. Three overtime games,
and then one game with like 120 minutes of penalties.
I know you want Florida. I think
the general rooting public wants Edmonton, which I'm fine with. I think these teams are even, and I got plus 180.
It's been so long since Canada's won a Stanley Cup that it feels like it'll be a very big deal when it finally happens. And Edmonton's been the team that's been close. They've been the team that have, you know, two of the best players in the league.
I mean, I do think it would be
they would be deserving. I feel like Edmonton's the...
It changes the way, like, McDavid is... I think most people would agree he's the best player. But I think, like, it kind of closes the argument if he wins one.
Yes.
Like, I think there would be... I think there'd be less debate if he wins one.
In general, though, I'm a fair weather hockey fan. I can admit that. Like, I don't watch when the Blackhawks aren't good. They're my team.
Yeah.
When they're not good, I don't watch a lot of games. I love the playoffs too. I think it's one of the best products you can put out there. Hockey is one of those sports. We talk about the NBA finals.
Yeah.
How it's the Thunder and the Pacers, but we're all still totally locked in, and it's been a great series. Hockey for me is one of those sports that it's just better when the big brands are there. And
I think that's playing out right now.
It's hard for me to get into Carolina versus Florida in the Eastern Conference Finals. If it's Boston and Pittsburgh,
sure.
If it's Detroit and Boston, if it's hockey cities,
yeah.
It's to me that makes a big difference in the NHL. I watch the NHL playoffs for the intensity and for the atmosphere. I watch the NBA playoffs for good hoops. And so I feel like maybe that just makes me not a true hockey fan, but it's been harder for me to get into this postseason because Dallas, not necessarily a traditional power. Carolina, not necessarily a traditional power.
I think it's fine for me because I don't have a team. I'm just watching jerseys.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it has played out that you are not alone in that sentiment.
There was an NFL wide receiver who's got a warrant for a attempted murder. Can you take a guess at who it is, Jeffrey?
Yes, that would be Antonio Bryant.
Not that surprising?
Not that surprising. I think what I tweeted last night, it's like, I wish I could say I'm surprised, but I'm not.
Yeah, Antonio Brown's had some ups and downs, for sure. Sounds like it was a very complicated situation. Obviously, alleged.
Yeah, and also it's like they spoke to him after the incident and then let him go, but now he's involved.
I don't know. What a way to go into the weekend here. I appreciate you guys tuning in. I appreciate 92.9 for having me these last 2 days. I'm going to go try to enjoy my weekend in Chicago, take in beautiful Wrigley Field. And Jeffrey will be back on Monday getting you guys ready for the NBA draft. Until next time, for Drew, I'm out of here.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.